Braves are trying to come back in this one, down 3-1. They scored a run in the first pitch of the game from Jurickson Profar's little solo job, and they haven't scored since. Tell me where you've heard that one before. And Eric Fetty gave up three runs, and that's all she wrote. Daisbell Hernandez is back on the mound trying to make things work in the top of the eighth. I'll keep you posted. And then the Atlanta baseball postgame show from 10 to 11. I'll be taking your calls at 404-726-0929, not just about the game, but what happened over the weekend and what the future of this team looks like. Oh boy, it is going to be a long home stretch here for these Braves. But right now we got to talk about, unfortunately, another team that is not able to find their footing once again in Leagues Cup and got bounced over the weekend, was not able to get points in either of their matches, losing both. Let's welcome in Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, for his weekly visit at Longshoe on Twitter. All right, Jason, what happened in both of these matches? How did we get to this point where the five stripes are unfortunately bounced from Leagues Cup?
I wish I knew at this point. It's really frustrating when the team, in terms of quality of play, and just as long as they can play with the fitness levels that they have in certain positions right now, we'll get to that in a second. When they're at their best, they're playing better for longer periods of time than they have maybe since the first month of the season. And honestly, and just in terms of sheer like judging of quality, I would say better. But they're not getting results for it. And they're also really weak physically in a couple of positions that it showed up on Saturday, where up until about the 60th, 65th minute, before your center backs ran out of gas and started dealing with cramping up, injury, muscle issues, you were the better team against a good team from Mexico. And then the wheels came off and you were already missing Derek Williams when he couldn't go again after playing on Wednesday. You didn't have any other center backs who could go, and you're piecing it together with paper clips. It's frustrating that the play is getting better and the results are getting worse. It shouldn't go that way, but that's how it feels at the moment. So it's just one of these things that even when the team's playing well in games, and I felt this on Saturday calling it, you start kind of waiting for something bad to happen. And if I'm doing that, you know that goes through players' minds, and it goes back to some of the confidence issues that we've talked about all season long. It's just been a really weird, frustrating season, and I don't know the easiest of fixes for it.
You mentioned the wheels falling off and the confidence issues. How much of those two things are directly related to one another in terms of the way that the season has gone and then when the tough gets going, not being able to respond?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think they are very related. I think it's something that, you know, sometimes luck changes that, and this team hasn't gotten any of that this season. I mean, Saturday is a prime example where you have all kinds of crazy, unlucky things go against you, and they just can't catch the break that maybe would fix some of the confidence, maybe fix some of that fear of something bad happening. And we saw it on Wednesday against Necaxa. We saw it against Pumas. Different reasons, different games. I think fatigue factored in a little bit more on Saturday than it did on Wednesday. But it's just, yeah, they're related. And there's not always the easiest fix to get out of that. You know, sometimes it is good luck. Sometimes it's running into somebody who's got more issues than you do. Sometimes it is just grinding something out, and this team right now hasn't shown that it's capable of it. So Leagues Cup is done. You have one more game, but it doesn't matter. You're not going to advance to the knockout rounds. So that's probably going to be a glorified training session on Wednesday with Atlas, with both teams eliminated from the competition. And you look ahead to Saturday in Montreal, and you've got to try to find a way to get something going and try to get some momentum.
You mentioned that it could be a glorified training session, but would there be merit in playing a lot of the regular guys to try to get a confidence boost that maybe, you know, if the other team isn't going full force either, that, you know, maybe you can score three or four goals, and even if it's not something that advances you in the tournament, I mean, anything at this point to try to build confidence, right, Jason?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to a little bit by default, just based off what you have available at the moment. But I think you can be a little strategic about it. You know, I look at somebody like Latte Lott, for example, who gets a goal so far in this week and has had some good moments here. But in general, since the early portion of the season, he struggled, and you can see it. It looks like it's in his head. You know, getting him more minutes here, I think, is a good thing. Maybe getting Saba Lobjanidze more minutes. So he looked really good on Saturday, and he struggled for confidence this season. I think in the back line, you're going to have to rotate some, and I don't know what it's going to look like at center back, because you're just shorthanded there right now. But at fullback, you're probably going to see Dominic Chongqui, a player who's on a first-team deal, academy product, a player who you need to get some minutes here. Will Riley, another one who we've seen, I think, do well with the minutes that he's gotten. Luke Brennan, who has played well. I think it's going to be a mix, but Latte Lott and Saba are two that I look at as they've got the legs to be able to play Wednesday to some degree, maybe not 90 minutes, but maybe 45, maybe even 60, and then still be able to impact the match on Saturday. Because you don't want to burn Saturday to try to get confidence on Wednesday. But I agree with you. I think there is an opportunity for maybe getting some momentum with two guys that did have good days on Saturday in Orlando, and maybe they can build on that.
When it comes to Ronnie Dyla, has he made any public comments about the state of the roster after the squad made so many moves over the last couple of weeks? And if so, what has he said?
Yeah, I think he gets it. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. We're not going to talk to him tomorrow because he's suspended for Wednesday. He got a red card after the final whistle from a very interesting referee on Saturday night in Orlando. I'm not sure if you heard me on the broadcast, but I had a few things to say at the end of it. Referees looked like they were in over their heads a little bit.
Well, for those who didn't catch it, Jason, definitely let our audience know what went down.
Well, the referee struggled to manage some crazy situations at the end. There was a red card to the goalkeeper for Pumas, and after the review of it, which is standard, he didn't really want to leave the field in any kind of a timely fashion, and even walked straight down the middle of the field and turned around and helped organize the wall and get the field player had to go in at that stage and goal, get him kind of stationed in the right spot, which should not have happened. All kinds of time wasting things, all kinds of issues. After the final whistle, Ronnie Dyla told me in the post game press conference that he said this is a joke, and the referee gave him a red card and sent him off. So he is not going to be speaking to the media tomorrow. He's not going to be on the touchline on Wednesday. But I'll be curious to hear what he has to say about the acquisition today. Alzate, the central midfielder, he's been playing in England. He has Colombian heritage as well, somebody that has played for Ronnie Dyla in the past. And hoping that Juan Berrocal, the center back from Spain, can get his visa in working order and be able to participate, if not Wednesday, on Saturday. I think from my conversations with Ronnie, I think he is happy with the moves that are being made. And especially because these are moves that I think are needed to have the team be in a better position to compete. Does it come with some short-term stress? Yes, because you have to move guys out to bring guys in. Sometimes you have to move guys out to get assets to be able to bring guys in. Sometimes to get the guys coming in that you want to get, or to move guys out, you have to do it on a timeline that maybe isn't your favorite. He would love to have more pieces available at the moment, but I think in the long term, he would rather have a better team in general, and that's what the team is hopefully getting to.
Talking all things Five Stripes with Jason Longshore. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. What do you think the internal discussions are like right now behind the scenes from what you're able to gather as they try to pick up the pieces of this season? Now that the sort of shock and awe of it has wore off and you really look towards more of the strategy standpoint to finish out the string this year and then really look towards next season as sort of the fresh start that I think everybody could use. What do you think the upper management of Atlanta United is thinking about not only Ronnie Dyla, but the state of the entire roster?
I think the club believes in Ronnie Dyla. And I know the easy thing on the outside, if you're a fan, is just always yell about firing coaches. I think that's a trope that gets thrown out there way too often. And in this case, having watched this team up close and seeing the training sessions and seeing how games have gone all year long, told you consistently, it doesn't feel like it's tactics to me. It doesn't feel like it's game model. Any of the things that Ronnie affects in matches, it doesn't seem like those are the issues. To me, this has been a combination of the confidence and poor form issues that we've talked about, along with maybe a roster that wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be. That happens. And I think now the moves that you've seen be made to make it better show you a little bit of what they thought was wrong, and I think a little bit of the pathway forward. So you've added two center backs and a central midfielder. I think we've also watched Bartosz Szlich become one of the most important players in the team this summer. So that's the spine of your team, along with Alexei Maranchuk in front, who has also played very well this summer. So those five are going to form the core foundation of this team going forward. Now you have to get Miguel Almiron and you have to get Latte Lott going. And I think you need the pieces around them to have those two impact games on a regular basis. That's what they were paid for to bring here. And that's what they're being paid for in salary. You need those two to be impactful. So that's seven of your players. And you're going to have to figure out fullback, and you're going to have to maybe figure out left wing. And long-term, I think you're going to have to figure out goalkeeper. But you look at seven guys that you feel like you're going to be building around for the next season. You want to be stronger in the middle, stronger in the spine, and I think more robust to handle difficult games, difficult moments, not have all the injuries, not have all the fatigue issues that this team has had, and just be a stronger, more resilient group.
Jason, when are you going to be on this week? When can the people check you out?
So I'll be on tomorrow after you again, Atlanta baseball post game tomorrow night. So I'll be on at 11. We'll get you ready for Leagues Cup, and we'll get you ready for the trip to Montreal. And then I'll be back on Thursday with the intersection with Noel White. And we'll see who we're going to throw darts at on Thursday. Who would you throw darts at right now if you had to pick somebody?
Ooh, I get the whole sports world to choose from.
You get the whole, that's how we do it. It can be anything. You could even go pop culture if you want. You can go anything.
Oh, right now, you know what? I'm going to have to go Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson. They're everywhere right now. I cannot do a scroll through my social media without seeing a video of them either doing a press tour or holding a press conference or doing an interview. They are in the spotlight front and center right now.
It is a little bit overkill, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, we might have to bring that to the bar at the intersection and talk about it on Thursday.
Yeah, especially for a movie that unfortunately just doesn't look very good. I haven't seen it yet, but I doubt it's going to be as good as the original. So we'll see. Jason, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Jason Longshore there. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I cannot scroll on Twitter or Instagram or without seeing one of them doing something. It's crazy to say that at 60 and 70 years old, respectively, they are the new it couple in Hollywood right now. Not often you see that. All right, when we get back, let's get a boots on the ground report from Flowery Branch. Our main man, Joe Patrick, was there today. What did you miss? Don't go anywhere. You'll find out next in 5 minutes. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight.